Good morning, dear church. Grace, mercy, and peace, these are God's gifts to you today and every day through Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, if you were here last week and now you're here this morning, we can very quickly see some stark differences maybe between Caleb and myself. Caleb last week said, I'm not going for the easy text, I'm going for the hard text. And now you have me this morning, and I say this, I'm running to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm running to this slow pitch softball right over the plate. I'm running to it, and I'm here with you now. In the small catechism, thinking of the creed we just rehearsed, the Nicene Creed, the small catechism has the second article of the creed. I'm sorry, the Apostles' Creed. And the second article, if I had to have you know anything about the small catechism, it would be that, the second article of the creed, which is to say, what God has done for you in Jesus. And then Martin Luther asked the question, what does this mean? And the answer is spectacular. Maybe we should just do a Bible study on that sometime. Maybe we should have the answer to that second article of the Creed and what does this mean posted in the back wall somewhere. But if you ever pick up that small catechism of Martin Luther's, run to that moment, the explanation to the second article. It ends with something like this. God has done all of this that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, both now and in the age to come. All right? If I were to do the same with the scriptures, which would be a better move, which is to say, you bring me the Bible and you say, where do I go? Where do I start? What do I read? I'd maybe point somebody to the Gospel of John. Let's spend some time there. But if I had to point somebody to one chapter, it'd be easily, I think, 1 Corinthians 15. If it wasn't Romans 6, or I don't know. But 1 Corinthians 15 is one of those great chapters I would point you to. And here we are today. It was our text last week, and the text continues now. Pause button on that for a moment. January 22nd, 2018, John Ruffner, my father, died. He grew up in Northeast Indiana, Waterloo, Indiana, on a non-operating farm. His father was a World War II veteran who, over the course of his lifetime, held several different careers. John, my father, was mischievous at a young age. He'd shoot out the streetlights with his bow and arrow. There was a time my grandmother, was preparing a meal, and she looked down the hall and out the front window and saw a body fall over the window. It was my dad throwing his brother out the window upstairs, rolling off the short amount of roof right there, and then rolling down into the bushes. And he was mischievous even at a younger age. The story goes like this. When John Ruffner went to preschool, the teacher asked him, little boy, what's your name? And he said, Johnny No-No. Because he had heard Johnny No-No so much at home that he thought that was his name. A couple of days later there in preschool, he reported back to home that he didn't much like preschool and he wasn't made to return until first grade started some 2 years later. John Ruffner was drafted at the end of Vietnam, one of the last picks. He won the lottery. Yet miraculously, through no effort of his own, he was stationed stateside in southern Arizona. Something he was always both glad of and a bit ashamed about. He was a husband, a father, an engineer. He was a cancer survivor from 2001, then later that same year, open heart surgery. But then the very same cancer returned in 2017. And as I shared, he died in 2018. Here's the question I'd like to ask. What did I inherit from John Ruffner? Well, Mom gave each of us, at his death, a few thousand dollars. That's one way to answer it. What did I inherit? A few thousand dollars from one of their insurance policies. For us, for Megan and I at the time, that helped us replace some failing appliances. And I'll tell you, that was a nasty, nasty exchange. And yet I thought to myself, Dad knew about this, he'd be really quite happy that even in death, in this small way, he could help us. And later, shortly thereafter, Mom also sold us his vehicle, which it might be out in the parking lot today, at a great price. This, too, was a blessing and yet an insult of sorts, all at the same time. I'll ask it again. What did I inherit from my father? I'd like to think and hope that I inherited his hugs. He was a good hugger. His willingness to fix things and build things, even if he didn't know how, he'd wade into it, kind of find out what he didn't know and somehow find his way around it and through it. I certainly also inherited from him his short fuse at times. Hopefully I inherited from him his joy at helping friends. For boy, he had it. Maybe sometimes to my mom's chagrin. It seemed like he was more excited to help friends than to do his own stuff around the house. Certainly, though, also, I inherited from him the Christian faith that mom and dad held and shared with us kids. More on that to come. And based on that Christian faith, what can I now say about my father? What can I say about him? Well, this is where we come back to our text. We're going to stick with this text the rest of our time. 1 Corinthians 15, it gives us some of these answers. Things that I can even now say about my father, or Seth Mormon can say about Jill Mormon today, or you can say about your loved ones who have died in Christ. So first of all, let's talk about inheritances. Verse 21 is how our text starts. For as by a man came death. That's right, from Adam and Eve until now, our children are born, and from the second they are put into our arms, we promise them everything. We promise them everything. Yet, from the second they are conceived, sometime before they were actually even born, we have already given them our full inheritance. It's a sad inheritance. The scriptures say it's death. How so? Because we are sinners. And our children, no matter how it comes about, they're conceived by sinners as sinners themselves. And so you too, I too, we were all born to sin. And then Romans 3 says this about sin. The wages of sin is death. You've heard it. You know it. Adam and Eve passed it on to their children. My parents passed it on to me. And Megan and I passed it on to our children, though mostly from Megan. Your parents to you, you to your children, and them to theirs. But my parents have given me other things too, right? We give our children other gifts too, don't we? We might object. Yes, it's true. But none of these other things that we give to our children quite make up for the fact that the nasty parts of life, tied up with our sins and the sins of others, and tied up with death itself, are an inheritance that we gave to them before they even bumped into the nasty bits and parts and results of it outside of our homes. Or put differently, I would literally give, as all parents would, all that I have in my earthly life, every last scrap of it. I would give it all if I could remove from my children sin and death itself. Yet I can't, can I? Nor can you. This is the point at which the sermon now takes a turn, along with the text itself. To use the words of the Apostle Paul, at this point, having tried to run there really quickly, we've looked at death, we've considered that it is our inheritance that we pass on to our children, sadly so, we might now say with Paul from Romans, who then will save me from this body of death? Who will save my children from this nasty inheritance? And then Paul gives us this, but thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, dot, dot, dot. So let us read actually the first few verses of this 1 Corinthians text again. We've looked at just the first portion of the first verse, but let us keep going. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Though our parents and we parents have a terrible inheritance to give, God had in mind another one to come along, another better inheritance. By one man, death came to all. That was Adam. But then it was David to his family, and Rick to yours, and so on and so forth. But now by one man, Jesus, comes the resurrection to new life. In Adam, we all die, but in Christ Jesus, we are all made alive. In Christ Jesus is first, the first fruits. But then at just the right time, he will gather us all up unto himself and make us alive. Then the end, and our text even mentioned that, the end, which if you read the text again, looks very much like actually a beginning. Then the end, this new beginning, when the full kingdom of God the Father is delivered. Boy, this changes things. How does it change things? Well, a few ways. First of all, this, the body. Bodies and people and creation and matter matters to God. God created all the stuff and all the animals, the birds, the fish, just as the other text mentioned, or the Intuit, maybe. But God created people, and after the day of creation in which he made Adam and Eve, he called it very good. And we rebelled and sinned, and he didn't scrap the whole project. He didn't run away from it. He didn't destroy it with a breath, which he could have done. No, he promised a Savior. And that Savior, the very Son of God, did what? He came to us in the flesh, in a body. He created you and your bodies, and he saved you in and through his body. And hear this, he will raise at the last day your body and mine, if in his patience we too enter into death before his second coming. Now, part of our Christian faith, hope at death is just this very thing, is that even in death, so here's the tension. When somebody dies, we talk about how even then in that moment, they are with the Lord. And we talk about them that way because the scriptures talk about them that way, that their life is now with the Lord. And yet they have also died, haven't they? Things are not as we knew them to be. Things are still not how we want them to be. The body is dead. And their body is part of God's creation and is part of his promise of things to come. It is how we knew them. In the body is how I remember John Ruffner, though certainly he has a spirit and had a spirit created by God. I never knew him as spirit. I only knew my father in the body. And yet the last time I saw my father, he was at room temperature, to put it bluntly. A great, great insult. And I was there graveside when he was lowered into the ground. And I have visited that place now in all seasons. Hot, cold, spring, fall. And these bodies, though, including John's body, are still a part of God's plan. He will come. He will raise up these bodies. He will perfect them, which is what the second half of our text spoke of. And we will be reunited with those in Christ Jesus, in their bodies, and in our own. And so here, though, is some tension for us. When we die, when one dies in the Lord, they are with the Lord in life. We speak of them well that way. Yet having died there also with us, awaiting Christ's second coming and his resurrection. This is a tension of sorts. It's a Rubik's Cube of the mind and of the faith that we want to solve, but it is not ours to solve. It is ours to believe, teach, and confess, and entrust to the Lord. With our loved ones who have died in the Lord, we say two things. We hold these two together. That we celebrate the new life they have, that they are with the Lord, even as we look for his coming when he will raise them and us up to new life. Amen?
Amen.
Second, Beyond the body, we can speak of a new inheritance and hope. So far, we've talked about that bad inheritance that we have to give, but consider now the new inheritance. This now also means that we have something more to give each other than what we originally had. Oh, sure, in our various ways, we have so much more to give to each other. John Ruffner also gave me a love of the outdoors, a love of planes, and a curious spirit. I think I got those things from him. Yet what does any of that mean when the way of death is what he also gave to me? Well, it means this now in Christ, that though he had his first inheritance to give to me, he, as my loving father, gave me then also a second inheritance, one that he did not earn, but an inheritance that was credited to him, and an inheritance that he was called to give away. Namely this, the good news and forgiveness of Christ Jesus, that God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, has put into our hands and our mouths all of the riches of heavens to do what with it? To give these things to each other. Suddenly, as a father, as a parent, I go from simply being my children's biggest problem to the guy who gave them death to now being made the delivery guy for the greatest riches in all of the universe. I didn't earn it or buy it. Christ Jesus did, and yet he gave it to me to give away to others, including my children, just as he has given to you. Young Christian people, we've got a few of them in the room. This is a positive vision, I would say, actually, of marriage and family, of becoming a parent, that you would find someone to share the good news with in marriage, yes, but then that God would grant to you children, and that immediately to your lousy inheritance that you only had to give to them, he now gives you a better inheritance right out the gate. The good news of Jesus for this new baby, this child, all of their life long. Marriage and parenthood, you could say, are uniquely suited for this Christian proclamation. And of course, we proclaim this to others as well, to our neighbors, to our extended family, to those we work with, those we go to school with, even our enemies. And older Christian people, with grown and gone kids, take heart. This is still your inheritance, your best inheritance to pass along to your children. Maybe your kids are close to the Lord, or maybe they are seemingly far from the Lord. In either case, the proclamation of the good news of Jesus, the news that creates faith and sustains faith and resuscitates faith even, this good news is yours to give. And it could sound something like this. I love you still to this day, but better still is this, that God loves you through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and he will never turn his back on you. Maybe your kids would love to hear that. Maybe they would bristle at it, but it's still a wonderful inheritance to give. And I'll say it again, one that creates faith, one that sustains faith, and one that even resuscitates it. And so, dear church, hear the first two verses again. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus and his gifts of life, forgiveness, and salvation, this is your new inheritance. It is for you. It is for all who trust in Christ. It comes to you, it blesses you, but it also is an inheritance that you can give away without ever losing it. May we, in our families, in our marriages, through our relationships, give it away now this week also. Finally, be at peace. You are forgiven through Christ Jesus your Lord, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.